You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Already, my guest is here to talk to us inside the book club. She is from Barbados. But before I get into that, let's quickly find out who she is. Miss Wendy Hoyt. And we've got her bio here. By profession, recently retired medical social worker, BS, active counseling psychologist, MS, PhD candidate, a volunteer coach to the youth and the YTC, minister of the gospel, who comes on 98.1 every third Sunday of the month with a short segment, Jesus is Soon to Return. I am a wife, mother of two adult children, and a grandmother of one who's passionate about empowering women and youth. And today we are talking about her book, A Choice to Embrace. Good morning to you, Ms. Hoyt, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. How are you doing?
Good morning, I'm well. And what about you?
I am good. Kind of glad that we are not embroiled in any sort of conflict here in the Caribbean. You know, we still jamming, as they say.
You still have to be careful.
Say that again?
You still have to be careful.
True. So tell me a little bit more about yourself. I see that you are a PhD candidate. What is it like getting into that aspect of study, because I know it's a whole long journey. What has that been like for you?
Do you need my... Oh. Okay.
Hello? Are you still there?
I didn't write that bio.
Okay.
No.
All right, so then tell me a little bit about yourself. Let's correct the bio then.
Exactly.
Let's correct that.
Yeah, as I said, I'm a retired government service.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for 40 years in the service and 26 years in the Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 26 years in Social Security. I've been retired for about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at present, I'm a trained counselor, mentor, and facilitator.
So you've been... Go ahead.
Yeah. Ministering the gospel, impacting the world.
So you deal with young people mainly?
Yes, you would say that. Older folks can come, but the younger ones are more, you know, receptive.
So the book, The Choice to Embrace, how did that come about, and what is that material on?
Okay. It came about of me wanted to share my story and to tell others where I was and where I am today by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it came about of me having a vision, you know, saying I can write a book. And I was hesitant at first, but then, you know, I found people that was able to help. So here I am today. And this is my second book, actually.
And what was your first book about?
The Changing Scenes of Life. It was written during COVID, where we went through the different changes of life. You know, people were all disturbed about everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a book of hope and expectancy.
And what went into writing the book? As you said, first of all, the name of the first book was what?
The Changing Scenes of Life.
Changing Scenes of Life. So as I said, that developed through COVID. What was your life like before COVID that inspired you to write about those changing seasons?
My life was just, you're going to work, you're doing what you have to do, and so on and so on. But being home in that environment, not being able to go anywhere, you know, the idea came to me. And I started to put down some points, and then I found people that was able to help. So that is it. You know, it's about hope and expectancy, encouraging others going through challenging times.
And similar to my question this morning, because I did ask my listening listening viewers as well, because we have a few online at facebook.com and also Instagram that look at the live feed. The things that we would miss out on, the luxuries, as you would call it, if we were to be put into a situation similar to COVID. Not that we're looking for that to happen, but, you know, it may be a part of reality. What are some of the luxuries you think we would miss out on?
The phone, for example.
The what?
The phone, for
example. The phone?
Yes. Social media, mm-hmm. for example. Yeah. Maybe the food that we eat and getting around, you know, because most of it will be restricted. Mm-hmm. So getting around and moving, leaving home and so on, you know. Again, we don't like to be restricted. Mm-hmm. It's not a good feeling. It's not a very good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the choice to embrace, was that written post-COVID? I guess that would be the time that you could have really come out of your shell and embrace. Yeah. So yeah. Tell me about that now.
Yes, okay. It's about my early childhood. And from where, as I said, where I was and where I am today. But my mother, my mom, she's 90, and she helped me a lot in my early childhood in that part. And she played a very pivotal role in that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is where I have grown up in a small village. Yeah. So I read of my experience there. And then coming out of schools, my work environment, my experiences, the journeys that I've made in life, you know, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And where I am today.
I know that you don't want to give out too much of the book, you know, but if you were in Trinidad, the culture difference between Barbados and Trinidad, do you see, well, let's start with the similarities first. You see a lot of similarities hearing stories of growing up? And what were the one main difference between the two?
I am not sure, because I don't know much about growing up in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever lived in TNT? Have you experienced the culture yet?
Yeah, I went there a couple of times, but I've never lived there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have friends in Trinidad, but I have never lived there.
Mm-hmm.
I went there like probably on vacation, you know, you go on a cruise and you stop over, you know, so on, but I've never lived in Trinidad.
Okay.
So I don't actually know of the real culture in Trinidad of growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out, like, what would have motivated you to talk about embracing? Because that means, you know, a space for acceptance and a space for love and understanding. Is your book centered on that? Can you briefly tell us what would be, or what was the scenario to talk about that type of very intimate feeling?
Embracing, pursuing, and conquering the journey of life. Okay, it's my experiences growing up during the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. Because right now I'm 70 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, actually 71, not 70, 71.
Don't worry, girl. That's how we do it. We minus. It's okay.
Right. So, you know, see, growing up during those years, I had so much to share.
Mm-hmm.
And say where I was, and the process of growing up during those years took me from where and where I am today. Because by the grace of God, I'm in a different, you know, zone today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because back there, we were doing all kinds of things. The challenges and the changes during the difficult times, you know, the hardships, but resilience. And, you know, I pivoted through those resilience times and in this ever-evolving world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you see a huge transition from, let's say, all right, you said that you are it's a social worker, yes?
Yeah.
And a lot of social work meant a lot of interactions with varying groups of different ages.
Yeah.
Has the transition from, let's say, our time I'm more in my 40s, you know, mid 40s. So I'm thinking about the world in the Caribbean and that experience where we focused more on foreign, quote unquote, rather than what was going on in the country. The different age groups, what were some of the challenges that they had to deal with that you think they've adapted to or have learned a lot? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
They deal with more discipline. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Parents were, you know, disciplined us a lot. And then at school, we had that environment where we had, you know, maybe where we were disciplined by the teachers and then maybe the staff itself.
Mm-hmm.
No, but now there's a difference now because children, parents don't lash children. And not that we were brutalized, but, you know, you get a couple lashes if you do anything wrong at school, right, and at school. But there's a difference, there's a big difference now. Because children are, I can't even go down that road. They don't listen, they don't, you know, but we had no choice. We had to go to church. We had to do things that children don't do nowadays. Children didn't make their choices, but we can make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think that choice is a blessing or a curse?
It can't be both.
I like the pause, though. You had to think about it for a second. But yeah, tell me about that. Because the thing is, when you hear parents and generations before talk about what they would like to have for their children, choice is one of the things that they would like to give you an opportunity to have a multiple things to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Has that spoiled society to a point or has it made it better?
It's spoiled it. I mean, sometimes we had no choice in the early times because, you know, parents, like, choosing clothes or, you know, going to different functions or whatever, say fairs and so on. And those times there were fairs that we couldn't go to, right? But now these days, children at 13, 12, you know, those ages are all about affairs in the different arenas, you know, where we never went to. We couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the choice, sometimes choice, you know, it is good and it's bad. It has its challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess it's at what point in time or maturity of the individual that you're talking about make a better choice or...
Yeah.
The ability to make better choices.
Choices. Uh-huh. When you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because when you're young, you know, the parents just, you have to do this, you have to do that. Because we had to go to, as I said, to Sunday school. And sometimes we didn't like it. But, you know, we had a choice.
Who would like getting up that hour in the morning to get ready to go? I mean, especially when you know there are cartoons on a Saturday or Sunday. At least for my generation, but... Yeah. Going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the main theme in your book for this particular edition. And I just like the word embrace. I want to find out what was your thinking? What was the meaning behind that title? Yeah? When we come back.
Okay.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind. Every weekday morning, Tusca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Farmers and home users, don't be fooled. Hydroponic nutrients are specifically formulated to allow any plant to grow in water using specific NPK elements to suit crop types. Cass Agricultural has a range of these NPKs imported from Italy, using the finest active ingredients to ensure optimum performance of your crop. Hydro A, Hydro B, and Hydro C are exclusively distributed by Cass Agricultural Supplies Limited and is available at all leading agro shops. Telephone 673-6802 or 354-5813.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back, TNT. If you're just joining me, we have Miss Wendy Hoyt, who has joined us via Zoom. And she's the featured author inside of our book club today. And the title, A Choice to Embrace, in an autobiography is the name of this book. And we've gotten to know her a little bit. I mean, she's holding on to the material, really, inside of the book, which makes, you know, perfect sense, especially as you're to purchase the book. But we just wanted to find out a little bit more about, you know, the choice of the word embrace. What about that action, especially as someone who's been in social work? How important is that? And you know, what message do you really want to send with that sentence?
Okay. My name of the book, when I started, it was My Journey, but my editor found it was possible or more nicer to put A Choice to Embrace.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at the different areas that, say, growing up, the school, the people that we had no choice but to embrace. Yeah, school, parents,
mm-hmm.
colleagues, workmates. You know, sometimes even people that's supposed to be your friend that never turned out to be your friend, maybe a husband, yeah, because you wrote about him, you know, we're divorced. But those things are things that I had to embrace in my lifetime. I had to have a choice with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So she found it, you know, more intriguing to put that topic, A Choice to Embrace. And I went with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I explore a little more with that. You know, I talk about, the part of when I moved from, say, because I went into the, when I moved, during my work time, I was a clerical officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from here to legal, in the legal field. Then I went into the, as an executive officer. So during those times, I embraced the things that happened to me, you know, along the areas of working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes you had no choice to suck up. And that was it.
So it was more, not so much the verb, but the idea of, okay, I am going to enter this experience for what it has to teach me. So you embraced the idea of learning rather than resisting the whole transition.
Yeah. Learn through the process.
Mm-hmm.
It was a learning experience. Everything was a learning experience. Mm-hmm. But life is a learning experience anyhow.
Yeah, that's supposed to, that's the reason for life. It's for you to learn lessons.
To learn.
So that you can pass on to others as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be passing on to others. Yeah.
In terms of your social work, what are some of the things that you think, in terms of our collective region, because you know, a lot in the news lately, a lot has been said about CARICOM and CARICOM's role to be that space to, I would say, embrace change and to have that community. Do you see benefits in, especially when it relates to young people, benefits of having those lessons that others have learned so they can impart that knowledge? Well, how you feel about that?
Yes, because Give me in the Caribbean or just...
Well, we could start with Barbados as the starting point, and then it extends to the Caribbean as well, because we have shared experiences as well.
Yeah. Yes. And the social work. You get to meet so many different kinds of people. So many different kinds of people. People that are sick. People that need social security. People that need benefits, like, you know, maternity benefits and so on and so on. Yeah, so you get to meet a cross-section of various people, the way they think, the way they speak, the way they go about, you know, the business and so on. So it's good that we could share our experience so that the younger persons can see where we were and how we went about knowing these things. But nowadays, I don't want to say no, because working in that, it is so much work to be done in that area of social work, so much. Yeah, because you have to make sure that the benefits are ready, the people are, you know, when people call to you for their payments, you have to have them up to date and so on and so on. So there is a lot to, so young people can take a lot from where we were in that aspect of the social security. But sometimes it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Because now that I'm at home and I go into the office, it's like, oh, I can do that tomorrow, or you get that done the next week or whatever. So it is, so they actually need to know where we were and the work that we've done, so that they can benefit from what we have done in the early times.
So in other words, having a standard of doing things and being able to pass on that standard so quality can continue. And I think from those healthier choices, you make less mistakes, and then it wouldn't have that heavy experience. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, it would be, the work would be a lot lighter. And it is a lot lighter because of the computer system. Because when I started, we had to write cards and so on, you know, but it's a lot lighter. When I finish, actually, when you get a claim and you put in the information, everything is there worked out. So you didn't have all of that, you know, thing to do by the machines and so on. So it's a lot better now, and it's a lot lighter. Workload is a lot lighter. And they should be able to embrace, you know, what we have done before.
And final message to those who would take up the copy of your book and read it. What would you like them to get from the story? And yeah, your last best word for them.
One may see their childhood in my story. Yeah. And they say, oh, because people that read my book say, oh, yes, I went through that same thing already. Or I saw, you know, some of the things that you have said in that book, you know, happened to me and so on. So be able to get their story too, and maybe they'd be able to write a book. You know, so it's so much that they can get from this book.
So you're encouraging new writers from your courage to write and read yours.
Of course.
I think I like that one. Yeah. So you encourage people to pick up the pen, and there are a lot of young people, I think, that have a lot of stories to tell that would encourage, like I say, that opportunity to form bonds and to create linkages, especially in this very trying time that we are in. And I think community and, you know, bridging the gap is more important than being separate at this point in time. You agree?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And I love people. Here's a quote I have here, and this is the last page of my book.
Sure.
Life journey is a process and can be challenging in this ever evolving world. But you know what? Never, never, never give up. Never. Mm-hmm. Today is for me and tomorrow is for you.
All right. And thank you so much for taking the time. Oh, by the way, where can we get your book? Is it in TNT already? Or would you be coming over with a bookload or a truckload of books to be launching here. What would be the plan?
It's the plan maybe later for coming over in TNT. Yes, that is in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, conference, as I said. And it is on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon.
All right. And it's your two books as well, or just this one that is on Amazon?
Both are on Amazon.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've met Miss Wendy Hoyt. Thank you so much once again. And for your third book, you will, of course, come by us here to do the interview. Yeah.
I have it on the computer already.
Really? Well, you want to talk a little bit about that? How you manage that?
Not yet.
Okay, great. All right. So we're in the process of a third one.
Yeah.
Can you say the genre? Can we at least get that?
I changed the title a bit. So because I'm juggling with the title,
mm-hmm.
I have a book. Yeah, so I don't want to say it right now.
All right, no problem. I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.